Let us turn our Bibles to the text that we have read there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11, as we seek the grace of God to help us to understand this passage of truth. Yes, our text here starts with our Lord Jesus Christ himself issuing a command to believers to be persistent in prayer before the Lord God Almighty. The Lord says here in verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and it shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." So indeed it is a command from the Lord here, and it is about persistence prayer before the Lord God Almighty. And as we consider this command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this verse, and also in the following verses until verse 11, I trust that we will be encouraged to pray. Yes, have you been praying? Have you been courageous to pray before the Lord God Almighty? Or maybe you have become cold in your prayer life? Could it be because you find that your prayers have not been answered, and so you have not been praying? Well, I hope that if you have been in such a state, let us be encouraged to pray. Indeed, after having understand this passage even more clearly. And as we are encouraged to pray, and it is not just praying, but that we should be praying with confidence. Yes, this is what the Lord wants us to do. So I hope that we will be encouraged to pray, and that we will be more confident in praying. Why? Because it is because that we will realize that our prayers will indeed have power. There is power in our prayer. Of course, the power is from the Lord God Almighty, but God gives us the power to pray. And as we pray the way that the Lord God would have us to pray, there is power in our prayer. So let us be encouraged, and let us have confidence, right, in praying unto the Lord. Yes, the Lord here is giving us the encouragement and the confidence to prayer, because there is power in prayer. And on what basis? On what basis do we say that there is power in our prayer? On what basis do we have this encouragement to pray and have this confidence to pray? On the basis, firstly, persistence in our prayers. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. And then secondly, we will see that there's power in a prayer because of the promise to our prayers. And thirdly, there's purpose for our prayers. Purpose our prayers in a sense that God purposes to provide things to those who ask Him. It is God's purpose to provide the things that we ask of the Lord God Almighty. So indeed, yes, it is a good purpose. So these are the three points that we would like to look into. That there is persistence in our prayers, there is promise to our prayers, and thirdly, there is purpose for our prayers. So let us learn these three lessons, that we may have the understanding that there is power in our prayers by asking, seeking, and knocking. Firstly, there is power in prayer because of persistence in our prayers. And this we see in verse 7 here. Jesus gives three commands here actually, right? In one verse, three commands. In verse 7 here, and they are all given in the present tense. Present tense. What are these three commands? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And these commands might be translated as they are in the present tense. Keep asking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. And keep on knocking. Not just only one time you ask and one time you knock or one time you seek. But we are encouraged to keep on doing it. Keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Not giving up until when the Lord God opens the door and you have the answer to your prayers. So the emphasis here is on persistence. God wants us to be persistent, to be diligent in our prayer. Yes, diligence must characterize the prayer life of every believer. Have you been diligent in our prayer? Or do we just pray haphazardly or just pray casually and pray without diligence and without pressing on for the answer that we want from the Lord. Well, God wants us to have this diligent spirit and to be persistent in our prayer. Believers are to be continually asking and seeking and knocking so that God will respond and open the door to supply the needs that we are requesting. God wants us to do this. The command to us here teaches us that we are to look to God to supply us strength, right? To obey those precepts. Ask, yes, God wants us to ask. To look unto the Lord God Almighty. To ask Him for the strength, for the grace, to be able to obey His precepts. To live a life that is well pleasing unto the Lord. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, before this, He has taught His Sermon on the Mount. And we must come before the Lord God Almighty, therefore to ask the Lord God and begging Him to give us the grace to obey His teachings on Christian living. The Sermon on the Mount is about Christian living. And how do we do so? Well, God says that we are to ask. And ask the Lord God for His grace and His strength to help us to be able to abide by these teachings on Christian living. Indeed, we can't do without prayers. We can't do without asking the Lord Jesus Christ for help. We must have a spirit of dependency upon the Lord God, begging. And that's what asking is, right? When we ask, we are in a sense show our dependence, and we are in need of this thing. And this is not just one time asking, it's to keep on asking, and it is as if that we are to beg, right? To beg and to ask for support in order that we may obey God's precepts, obey His ways, to live a life that is according to God's will. So by asking, yes, we show humility. If we don't ask, then we may think that we are able to do so ourselves. But if we ask, then we show that there's this humility on us, this ability in us to do what that we need to do. But if we ask, there's this sense of humility in us for a need to help. Right? So therefore, God asks us to keep on asking. And we can be sure that God is well pleased with us. If we are to ask, He is well pleased with such a spirit of asking. So let us be asking, and God wants us to be asking always as we come to Him in prayer. And then He commands next is to seek, right? And that goes deeper than asking. Seeking goes deeper than asking. There is a difference between asking and seeking. Seeking means to go all out with our efforts, right? To search out. Yes, to search out what God's will is, has revealed in His word to us. And so it is not just asking, but then we need to go a step further, and that is to go on to search. To find out what is God's will for us, that is in His word, regarding our the life that we should be living, or whatever particular circumstances that we may be in, right? To search for God's will, how that we may deal with certain problems, certain ways in the way that we should go about in life. Right, we want to search and seek God's will, how to do the things that we need to be doing. Well, we have the example of a woman who lost a piece of silver in the Bible, and the Lord told us that she swept her whole house in order to look for that lost one coin, didn't leave anything untouched in order to rediscover, right, the coin. And so, yes, this is a spirit that the Lord God would want us to do. This is a spirit that is exemplary, the spirit of seeking or searching. So in prayer, it has to be a matter of seeking or searching, not just asking. Asking, of course, but it has got to go further. That is to seek or to search, but searching with earnestness, right? Seeking the Lord's will. And that's what we need to be doing. It is not a matter of asking the Lord God to help us to do this or do that, right? Yes, of course, we should be doing this. But it is not just that. We need to seek, right? We cannot come to the Lord God Almighty and tell the Lord God, I planned this, I planned that, and then ask the Lord God to help. Yes, we may be doing this, but it will be better if we are to seek the Lord God Almighty to help us and to guide us what to do, right? And that is truly a full dependence upon the Lord God Almighty. How often times, many times, we first plan and decide what to do, and then we come to the Lord God Almighty and to tell the Lord God Almighty, this is what I decided to do. No, well, let us humble ourselves and to come to the Lord God Almighty. Come to us and to seek the Lord God for help. Right? Ask the Lord God and help Him, seek Him to help us to make out our plan. Make a plan and how that we may get things done according to His will. Right? Earnestly seeking the Lord God Almighty for His will and for His wisdom to do some work that we need to be doing. To work out our plans. If we have already planned something, not just to come and tell Him that this is my plan and I've decided to do this, but rather ask the Lord God and seek for His will and to submit this plan unto Him and ask Him for His guidance. So yes, we need to be asking and seeking. And then the next is to knock. And here is knocking. It is like one who desires to enter a house. Right? So it is with that kind of spirit, with that kind of urgency. And this is a beautiful illustration of prayer before the Lord God Almighty. We are to knock at the door of grace. Right? To come and to knock on the door of grace. So do we see the progressive here? Right? Going from asking and then to seeking and then to knocking. So the Lord Jesus is telling us to have the intensity and the passion in our prayer. We need to have this. Going from asking and then to seeking and then to knocking. And God promises an answer to one who diligently asks and seek and knock. Right? He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there's this promise of an answer to one who is diligently asking and seeking and knocking. Well, many of our dispassionate prayers are not answered for good reason. Because it is almost as if that we ask God to care about something we care little about. Right? Do we come to God and then we just pray and a prayer that as if that we don't even care whether if God answers it or not? Do you think God would want to answer such a prayer? If there's no spirit of diligence, no spirit of persistence, no spirit of us caring for that matter, right? Whether if God answers our prayer, well, the Lord God wants us, right, to be as caring as He. God values persistence and passion in our prayer because they show that we share His heart as we come and to seek Him and to ask Him and to knock on His door, to open the door for us. It shows that we care about the things that He cares about, even as we keep on persistently to ask and to seek and to knock. So yes, praying will take persistence and diligence. We must be devoted to prayer. It's a sense of devotion as we persistently ask, seek and knock. We have to devote to praying this way, applying ourselves to it with much diligence. And the Spirit of God will enable us with the strength and the power needed to make such kind of prayer effective through our persistence and perseverance. By the grace of God, yes, we will be able to do so. So, dear friends, what has been your prayer life like? What has been your prayer style like in the past week? Has that kind of praying mentioned characterized you? The spirit of persistence and diligence in truly wanting God to answer our prayers? Or do we play just non-canonly and it doesn't matter whether God answers prayer or not? It doesn't matter. I just have to utter a prayer. Have you persevered in a prayer and petition? That should be one of the characteristics of prayers. Urgency in seeking the Lord God Almighty for His blessing. And even knocking on His doors, besides just asking. God desires us to give so much and bless us in many ways. Yes, but it is important that we sense the needs that we have to and realize that He can fulfill the needs. The Lord God Almighty, He's ready to provide us with so many things. But He wants us to realize that He can provide for us. He can answer our prayers. Right? He can fulfill all our needs. And when we come to that realization, then we can come earnestly and persistently. And we should. Right? We ought to be. And the Lord is well pleased of us to do so. Earnestly and persistently seeking from Him, even as He delights to give to us. What a blessing in our lives, truly. When we realize that the Lord God has promised to give us when we need, what we ask for when we seek and we knock. So there's this promise, right, of the persistent prayer, the Lord God will answer. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and it shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And this leads us to the second point, and that is that there's power in prayer because God promises to our prayers. Right? In verses 7 and verse 8, we see here as we survey the three commands, notice that with each command, it has the promised response. Right? Ask and it shall be given you, seek and it shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And this verse does not say that we are to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock. Then see what happens. Right? It is not you ask and then you seek and you knock and then you just wait and see what happens. But that's a positive answer, right, to what that we are asked to be doing. The verse gives us the assurance that the Almighty God is awaiting the opportunity to answer our prayers, to respond to us. Notice also in verse 8, right, he says that for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So it kind of reinforces what he's saying in verse 7. Right? It gives us a very full assurance that as you ask, you receive. Right? And of course, again, this is asking is in the present tense. Keep on asking. You keep on asking, you receive. You keep on seeking, you find. Right? And keep on knocking, it will be opened unto you. So in this verse, the promise is reiterated. In verse 8, it reiterates what the Lord Jesus Christ is promising us. That there is power in a prayer as God promises our prayers. Right? So there's no doubt about the response from the Lord God Almighty. No shadow of doubt, no question about it. We are not going to persist if we see whether if God will answer us. No. Rather, we are going to persist, right? Because He will answer. He will answer. Therefore, we should persist to ask the Lord God to seek and to find. Right? There is a major difference in those approaches. One is we are not sure if God will answer. Right? If God does not say that if you ask, if you seek, if you find, if you ask, if you seek, and then if you knock, then it will be given to you. Right? You will receive it. And that you will find, and that it will be open unto you. Then, if there's no such assurance, then we are not sure. Right? But we thank God that there's a certainty in what the Lord God is telling us to do. Right? So, it is not that we are not sure if God's will, whether God will answer us. So, we are trying to persist. But rather, it is that we are sure, as God has already said here, He promises us. Therefore, we will persist. Right? We are sure, therefore, we persist. And so in the next few verses, actually the Lord Jesus Christ draws an analogy, right, between the human family and God's family. And He shows that what a human father does for his children, he does for his children. What our earthly father does for his earthly children, God the Father does for His spiritual children. He first shows that fathers give good things to their children. Earthly fathers, they give good things to their children. In verses 9 to 10, He says, "Oh, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Well, we must realize that in biblical times in Palestine, a loaf of bread is not like what we have here, a big loaf, you know. But it is just a small flat piece of a round cake, right? Having much the appearance of one of the flat stones. That you may see around, right, in the Holy Land. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that no father is going to deceive his child and say that, you know, picking up a piece of stone and then say, this is some bread for you, right? If you ask for bread, then this is the bread that I'll give to you. Fathers won't do that, right? They won't trick their children like that. When they ask for bread, they truly will give them the bread. They will not give them a stone instead of a bread. The Lord Jesus Christ also says that when a child is hungry and comes to his father and to say, "Give me a fish," no father would say that, "This is what I caught during fishing today," right? And then he take up from his basket and it's a snake, right? And a snake and give it to the child, and this is the fish that you asked for. which of course a child will not be allowed to eat it. Well, no fathers who do that. No human fathers who do that. Rather, they delight to meet the needs of the children. Do you fathers delight to meet the needs of the children? Right? Or would you play a fool with them and trick them with such kind of tricks? No human parent who will be pleased to see his child starving, right, when they are really in need, and then trick them with such kind of silly tricks. Well, they would delight rather to provide for what they are asking for. They will not do such cruel thing and to trick them instead of meeting the needs that they are asking for. And well, the Lord says that our sinfulness in us, we human beings who are sinful, and yet we can be doing good to our children. How about God the Father? Would He do good to us? Would He provide us with good things? So here in verse 11, it says that, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Right? So here, the sinfulness of human beings is presupposed. Right? If ye then, being evil. Right? So this saying, if ye then, being evil, means that even though we are fallen creatures, we are sinful human beings, and we still know how to give good gifts to our children in spite of our sinfulness. Right? We delight in meeting their needs, even though we may be wicked and sinful and could even sometimes do wicked things to them. Well, but then generally we would be providing the good things for our children. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, think then about what your Father would be doing. So there's a comparative statement here in the verse. He says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? If you are sinful and you can provide good things for your children, then how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? So the point is that overwhelmingly simple here, right, the Lord is making. If fallen, simple, sinful human fathers delight to give things to their children, what could we expect from God in heaven? From our Father in heaven? Could not it also be something good and with a good purpose that God will give to us? Right? So this is the assurance that we, as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, there's this promise. God promises that He will answer us. He will give it to us. Right? He will give it to us. As we ask, we will receive. As we seek, we will find. As we knock, it will be open unto us. The Lord is not going to trick us, right? He already tells us to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And then is He going to play the trick that as we ask and ask and ask, He's not going to give? As we seek and seek, He's not going to let us find it? As we keep on knocking, He's not going to open? No, right? So we thank God that there's this blessed promise from Him, right? That as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, He's sure, right, to answer us. He's pleased to answer us. Because even as a father would not be so evil as to not to have his children to have the good things, well, God the Father would even do better than that. And so this leads us to the third and final point, which is that there is power in our prayer because God purposes to provide only what is good for us, His children. Right? God purposes to provide what is good for us, His children. The Lord here is teaching us that if we understand the love we have for our children and how that we love, our love goes out to our children, even for their desires and for their needs, and there's nothing, right, by comparison of the love of the Father goes out for his children. Right? If we who are earthly and then we love our children so much and we want to give them their dire need, truly there's nothing that can be compared, right, to what God the Father will do. Right? God does for His children cannot be compared with what that we do. Right? Even though we do what we do for our children is with a love, right? But God's love is infinite. And He will do greater, surely, than what that we can do. Yes, so often we forget this. It seems so simple, and yet, if we have an overwhelming need for a burden, we sometimes lead before the Lord God Almighty wondering, if He will really provide for us, do we have this kind of understanding and thinking and not sure of our God the Father, whether if He will provide good things for us, whether He's good enough to provide what that we are earnestly asking and seeking and knocking, whether if He will actually really, you know, let us find what that we seek for, whether we receive what that we ask for, or whether He will open it to us when we are persistently knocking. Do we have this kind of thinking? Sometimes we may have, right? We lay something before the Lord God Almighty, and then we're wondering whether if He really will provide for us. Will He really give me what I need? Will He really accede to my request? What if He gives me something else? Yes, this may be the thinking that we may be having. What if He gives me something else that I'm asking and seeking for? It is a lack of confidence when we fail to realize that He actually delights to give us what we need. Let us don't have that lack of confidence, but rather have this confidence in God, that He delights to give us what we need. But realize that it is not that He would give us what we want or we desire. Many times it's because that we want that thing. We desire for that. But we don't need it. And therefore we don't get the answer from the Lord. But if we need it, surely God will answer us. Right? Because He means good for us. He has a good purpose to accede to our request. So this verse, in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? This verse 11 many times has been misunderstood and misapplied in many occasions. And as a result, there have been some very disappointed people, right? Some have had great burdens, and then they have asked the Lord God Almighty for things that they were burdened about, whatever the burden it may be. And then, well, unfortunately, God never met those requests or desires. If you have such a kind of experience, something that you are very burdened with, and then you come to the Lord God Almighty, and then you ask the Lord God Almighty, you submit your request, and then God doesn't give it to you, your request. Right, but then you have this verse here. You read and it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Well, realize that the Lord God Almighty would grant us the need that we need of, but not necessarily the wants and the desires. He may grant us the wants and our desires, right? But for our need, He surely will grant it to us. So there may be people, right, who have come to Him with great burdens, and then they ask for the Lord the things that they desire for, but they don't get what that they desire for. For example, you might have earnestly, you know, some young people here, you might have earnestly been praying, right, and you do so. You ask, you keep on asking. You keep on seeking and keep on knocking on God's door, and even with a believing heart, that God will give you the hand of a girl to marry. Right? You're very earnest about it. And then you want to apply what that we have learned earlier about the Lord saying to be persistent, to be diligent. Yes, I'm persistent and diligent. Right? And that there's this promise that if I persistently ask and diligently ask, God will promise to answer me. And so you apply this, and then you pray that way. Earnestly you pray, and you have believing hearts, you think that God will give you the hand of a girl to marry. But God says no, right? God says no to you. Well, what do you do? Thank the Lord, right? Thank the Lord. Be assured that our God means it for good and not evil. Right here in verse 11, in the last part there, it says that, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? So this is the assurance of our prayer, right? That our prayer will be answered, because there's power in the prayer, because God purposes to provide only what is good for His children. He will answer our prayers, He will provide for us. He will listen to our request. If it is for our good, right? For our the need that we have, which is a good thing. So if we are to apply and the first 2 points and just diligently ask and then stand on the promise that God will answer if we are diligent and persistent, but still God says no, well, let us realize that God purposes only that which is good for us. And thank the Lord for it, if it is a no for the answer. Right? So be assured that God means it for good and not for evil. We who are His redeemed children. Yes, you may feel sad about it. You may feel disappointed. You may feel disheartened because it is something that you want, you desire. And then you pray so earnestly, diligently, persistently. And then you think that, yes, God will promise. I mean, since He promises that if I diligence and persistence, then He will say yes. But He says no. And you feel disappointed. Well, instead, take a step back and then ponder carefully. Verse 11 here, the Father which is in heaven gave good things to them that asked Him. Right? Don't miss this point, that the Father which is in heaven gave good things to them that asked Him, which means that what you wanted is not good for you to have. What you desire for is no good for you to have. That's why He says no to you. Because God could only give us good things. And God knows what is good for us, what that is not good for us. In our finite mind, in my finite thinking, we may think that it is good, right? In a short run. But then God knows what is ahead. He knows what that is no good. And so He does not give you what that you want, what you desire. That is no good for you. Because He gives only that is good for you. Well, it is not just in a matter of life partner, but this may be applied also to other things, like for a job, right? You go to interview for a job and then you earnestly want to have that job. You think that is the job for me and that will see me through the rest of my life, and if I get this job, I'll be able to do well, I'll be able to rise up high and I'll be able to earn a lot of money. Well, but God says no. And so you pray and you pray diligently and you bang on God's promises, right? Assurance that He will promise if you pray diligently. But then there's this third point here, right? It says that God will only give you good things. So you may be praying not diligently and earnestly and thinking that God will promise you for your persistence, but then it is not good for you because it is something that you desire and want and it's no good for you. God knows why it will not be good for you and when it will not be good for you, so He says no. Things like property also, right? You people in Singapore are always spending their time to look for properties and buying and to sell. And you may be looking at one and you think that it is good, but God thinks it's no good. God says it's no good, so He says no to you, right? Or anything that you so desire so much that you have been asking God for, but realize that God will only give you the good things, right? Note that the Lord does not say, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give you whatever you want, right? He's not saying that. For earthly fathers, we may do that. Sometimes we pamper our children so much that whatever they want, we give it to them, right? But even if we can do that, God the Father will, yes, He will be ready to give us, but He will give us only good things, right? He says that He shall give what is good to those that ask Him, or give good things to them that ask Him. And what are the good gifts? What are the good things that our Heavenly Father has in store for us who would seek Him persistently and diligently? Whatever we want or desire for, no, these are not always good for us. Rather, the Father knows what we need and what is good for us, and He will grant them to us. Our Heavenly Father looks upon our eternal and spiritual welfare. It is not just our life here on earth. Yes, of course, He will provide us with things that we need for this life here on earth. But it is more so for eternal and spiritual welfare that our Lord God Almighty is concerned about. There is often a great distinction between that which are needful and good for us and that which is pleasant to satisfy our desire. Right? Many times we fall into the sinfulness and the wrongness of thinking that what we desire and what we are pleased with is good for us. But it may not be so, right? But what? So there's a difference between what is needful and good for us. and what that is pleasant to satisfy our desire. And why is it so? It's because our hearts have become corrupt. We are fallen nature since the time of Adam, and so by reason of that, we have pleasure in sin. And things are not for our spiritual welfare. Right? Many times we want them for the flesh. It is not for our spiritual welfare. But God is concerned more so of our eternal and spiritual welfare. And so He would give the good things for us to develop our eternal and spiritual welfare. So the Lord gives only good things, or give good gifts to us. Those things especially that are spiritually and eternally good for His children. Note that in another account in Luke's Gospel, right? Luke's Gospel has a similar account on this topic. Right there also the Lord God says about asking and knocking, right? And about seeking persistently. But in Luke records about this point in verse 11, Luke records is this. It says that, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto the children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him?" Right? So in Luke Gospel, he's very specific. He says about God the Father giving the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So indeed, yes, what is that good thing, truly? The Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit, we have all the good things. Right? Isn't it so? We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have long-suffering, we have gentleness, we have goodness, we have faith, we have meekness. We have the fruit of Spirit in us. We have temperance. We have all these things that is good for us, to help us to develop a good spiritual life. All these things will be good for our spiritual welfare. And God knows that we need these good things in order to live a good Christian life, a Christian life that is well-pleasing unto Him. Now, what are some of the other good things that the Lord would give to us besides the Holy Spirit, and realizing that God would give us only good things? Well, according to the scripture, another good thing that the Lord God may give to us is chastening. Right? Chastening is a good gift from God. We may not realize it. Of course, we may not desire for it. Right? Who would want to desire to be chastised by the Lord God Almighty and ask the Lord God to chastise us? But it is something that is good for us. Some good gifts that the Lord God would have for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says there, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So chastening, right? When we have it, when we are going through it, it may not be joyous, right? But grievous. But afterward, right, after you have gone through the chastening, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. After you have been exercised by chastening, well, it will be a blessed thing. So it is good. It is a good thing. Yes, good gifts are something sometimes grievous to the flesh rather than joyous, like chastening. Nevertheless, afterwards, when we have gone through it, we find that it is a great reward that God gives to us. And this is what David says, right? David referred to correction as a good gift from God. He says in Psalm 119, verse 67 to 68, I read for us there, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Right? So chastening is a good gift. Because through it, through chastening, God teaches us to draw closer to Him. So it is a good thing, right, that God would give to us. And some of us may have been given such a good thing from the Lord God Almighty, chastening. So take courage, right, for whatever thing that happens to us as His redeemed children. They happen for our good, right? God does not mean it for evil. He means it for good. Our Father only gives us good things, right? He does not mean evil, but He means it for good. And though the going may seem to be hard, right? The going may seem to be an affliction, to be painful. But at the end of it, right, if we were to just be patiently wait and to let the Lord God see us through the affliction, then we can see that it is a great reward. Have you heard of the illustration of the weaver? right, those who weave the embroider. And well, one time there was a man who went into a weaving room where weavers were working on a large rug. Right? There were many weavers working on a large rug, and they were working below the rug, right? Doing the weaving work. And well, from underneath, everything is such a mess. Right? If you were to look at it, right? Everything is in such disarray. Strings went in every direction and crisscrossing here and there, and knots here and there, and very confusing, right? You don't see a picture, you don't see the pattern. In fact, you see knots and you see a lot of crisscrossing. However, well, this man, when he saw this, is in a mess. But when he looked at the beautiful design of the rug from the top, when it has completed, he realized the wisdom of the weaver, right? The weaver may be doing this thing and that, but it is for a purpose. It is for a good purpose, in order to have that finished work which is so beautiful and so nice to look at. Right? So when this man saw the design on top of the rug, he realized the wisdom of the weaver. Why he must crisscross here and there? Why must there be knots here and there? So this is the way it is when we see life from outside. It seems to be all in a mess and, well, but if we were to look at it from God's point of view, right? Let us realize that our heavenly weaver does not show us the finished design of his will right away. But let us go along with him and realizing that he has a good purpose in doing this thing and doing that thing, in allowing this thing to happen, allowing that thing to happen, in having these knots in our life, this crisscrossing in our life, or even some brokenness in our life. It is all for a good purpose. All the struggles, all the trials, all the temptations that we have to go through, they seem to be such a riddle and such a confusion. But when we see God's finished product, when we see it from His point of view, His purpose in the end, we will see the beauty of every stitch, right, that is on the fabric in our life. And this reminds us of Romans 8:28, right? For those who love God, right, those who are called of God, and yes, God work all things together for good to them that love God. To those who are called according to His purpose, God work all things for good. So dear brethren, let us be encouraged, yes, as we meditate on this passage, encouraged to pray and have more confidence in praying. If you might have become cold in your prayer life, and because you have met many times with unanswered prayers, well, let us be encouraged to pray again and to have confidence in our prayer, right? And let us not lose sight of the tremendous power in prayer that we can learn from the teaching of the Lord here. The eternal Lord God Almighty tells us to fervently and eagerly, diligently, persistently ask, seek, and knock. This is what He wants us to do, right? Not just casually and just non-cadently to pray, right? And of course, there are times when we just whisper a prayer, but there should be times when we really come to the Lord God Almighty and be very persistent and very diligent and eagerly and fervently asking and seeking and knocking. Persistent and persevere, right? Be persistent and persevering in our prayer. And then we realize that we can have success. Because God, in His great and wonderful promises, says that we will receive, right? We will find, and He will open to us. And it is with this assurance, therefore, that we will therefore realize that we won't waste time to keep on asking and to keep on seeking and to keep on knocking. Because there's this wonderful promise that we will receive, we will find, and He will open to us. And then not forgetting that God purposes to provide good and perfect gifts only for us and not evil. Right? So even if you persist, if you're diligent, and you know that God promises that He will answer, but then God's answer may be otherwise, realize that God purposes to give us good and perfect gifts, right? For us who are His redeemed children. Remember that all things work out together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee Lord, for the encouragement to have this confidence, and Lord, even the assurance and the encouragement to be persistent and to be diligent, to be eager and fervent in our prayer, to keep on asking and seeking and knocking. And this is what you require of us, because Lord, we know that even as we ask and seek and knock, we thank thee, Lord, that you have your promise that we will receive and we will find, and you will open to us. And we thank thee, Lord, that we have this assurance that all that we receive from you, all that we find, and whatever that you open to us, it is for our good. For you mean it good for us. You give only good gifts to us. You will not give us something that is evil. So truly we thank thee, Lord, for the power of prayer that we have, even as we ask and to seek and to knock. And even last, by thy grace and mercy and by thy strength, to keep on doing so. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. So help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.